Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. How's that for an attention-grabbing title? The one sport that may help you live the longest, according to science. So yes, there is some very interesting research out there into sports and participation in sports and longevity. And this was a topic that I was actually asked to discuss on CBS News a while back when it first started getting traction in the media. And it's just a great, great subject topic for Fitness Disrupted on many levels. We're going to look at a couple studies, and the specific study that the media picked up, and then I'm going to talk about why. So the studies obviously go into why a little bit, but it's correlation, not causation, as I will discuss. But there's really good stuff there, really helpful stuff there, stuff that should make you feel good about what you're doing and give you, yes, takeaways to help you live your best life. And what I loved in looking at the research, and especially one study from Japan, is there was a big discussion in the study about quality of life. So it wasn't just about longevity, but it was about what those years are like. And I talk about that so frequently. It's not that you're just going to live to be 70, 80, 90, 100 years or more, but what are those years going to be like? Are you going to be able to do what you want to do? And are you going to be able to do those things pain-free? That's what's most important. So yes, longevity is important. We want to live ideally as long as we can. But if those years aren't quality years, what is it all about, right? We want to be able to live our best lives. That's the goal of this show and everything I do for a living, helping you live your best life. So, such a great topic, such a fun look at recreational sports and the statistics and research into specific sports that may help you live the longest, and one in particular. And what's particularly interesting is that in my most recent book, The Micro Workout Plan, the opening chapter is about a former client who was so successful and still is, and he plays this sport. This is what he does. What is it? Some of you know, I feel like some of you know, but we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get right into it. The one sport that may help you live the longest, and there's others in the research. We'll be right back. All right. The attention-grabbing title for this show is the one sport that may help you live the longest. But yes, it is according to science. That's what this show's about. We don't make things up. And we not only discuss the research, but I dive into it. Sometimes deeper, sometimes just the abstract. But it's an intelligent discussion, which is so lost in so much today, especially exercise and nutrition. So let's get right to it. Do you know the answer? The one sport that may help you live the longest. Here's this study, one of the main studies of several, but that garnered all that media attention not too long ago. The title, Various Leisure Time Physical Activities Associated with Widely Divergent Life Expectancies, the Copenhagen City Heart Study. And this was December 2018. Okay, recent. Some of this stuff goes back a little ways. This one does not, just a couple years old. But the findings are valuable nonetheless. I try to get the most recent studies when possible. This is one, but we'll go back and forth every now and again too. Okay? Just because it's older doesn't mean it's not worth discussing. What was the objective of this study? This was to evaluate the differential improvements in life expectancy associated with, very simple, participation in various sports. And so this is the Copenhagen City Heart Study. And that's a prospective population study where they utilize detailed questionnaires regarding participation in different types of sports and leisure time physical activity. They specifically looked at 8,577 participants, and they followed for up to 25 years, so a long period of time. And they were looking at all-cause mortality between October 10th, 1991 and September 16th, 1994 until March 22nd, 2017. All right. So they're analyzing over 8,000 people over a long period of time, almost a quarter century. And what did they find? Well, they actually found and looked at seven different sports. And here were the incredible findings. Number one, the number one sport that had the greatest increase in life expectancy, tennis. 9.7 years. So the one sport that may help you live the longest, tennis. But it doesn't end there, because what's number two? Badminton. How many of you are playing badminton? Played it a little bit as a kid. Short amount of time. Like, I don't know how that ended up in the backyard. Didn't last very long. So badminton was number two, 6.2 years increase in life expectancy. So the first two sports are what? Racket sports. So being specific, it's tennis, the sport that may help you. And I'm using the word may, people, for a reason. I often do, unlike many others in my profession, may help you live the longest. And then badminton. So it's racket sports. And let me give you the rest. Soccer, number three, 4.7 years. Cycling, 3.7 years. Swimming, 3.4 years. Jogging, it's a soft J, 3.2 years. And finally, calisthenics, call that aerobics, 3.1 years. Really, really interesting. So I'm going to shortly talk about why they and I believe that it's the racket sports that make a huge difference, okay? But listen to the conclusion. This is where it gets really interesting, I would argue. Read directly from the study. Conclusion, various sports are associated with markedly different improvements in life expectancy. Because this is an observational study, very important, it remains uncertain whether this relationship is causal, right? Correlation versus causation. And as I've said over and over again, these are self-reports. Got to take it with a grain of salt, but it's how we do many studies. It's the best and only way to do certain things. Not the best way, but, you know, the cheapest. And, you know, especially when you're following people over so many years, it's how it's done. But yes, it's uncertain whether this relationship is causal. Here we go, though. Interestingly, the leisure time sports that inherently involve more social interaction were associated with the best longevity, a finding that warrants further investigation. So people like me who love to go out and run by myself might not live as long. There you go. There you go. Jogging's number six. But that is a really interesting finding. And if you've listened to my prior podcasts, when I talk about what over and over again, books like The Blue Zones that look at populations that live not only really long, you know, have really long lifespans, but quality of life. What is one of those similarities between those blue zones, those places in the world where people have great long lives, healthy long lives? Social connections. Boom, people. Now we're connecting the dots. Now you're seeing that it's systems theory when it comes to health and wellness. You can't just pull out one thing and say, this is the reason. Oversimplification. And that's a huge issue because this stuff is simple, yet it's connected. So a huge part of racket sports potentially helping you live longer is the social interaction part. So remember that. I'm going to come back to that. Second study, huge study, even bigger. We were going to go from 8,000 to 80,000. And this was in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, May 2017. Again, recent. Title, Associations of Specific Type of Sports and Exercise with All-Cause and Cardiovascular Disease Mortality, a cohort study of 80,306 British adults. Okay, what did they do? This was the Health Survey for England and the Scottish Health Survey, which are household-based general population studies, recruiting independent samples annually since 1991 and 1995. Interviewers visited the sampled households and administered the study questionnaire, and they measured height and weight. And the present analysis included individuals aged 30 to 98 years. Okay, so huge study. Again, questionnaires asking people what they did, how frequently they did it. And I'm going to go into this study a little bit deeper just to give you an idea of what they often look at. So for this study, it was a physical activity assessment. I'm going to read directly here for you. Non-occupational physical activity was assessed using an established questionnaire that inquired about the frequency and duration of participation in domestic physical activity. Okay, so they're looking at what these people did. And that included heavy manual housework, gardening, and do-it-yourself activities. It also looked at walking and sports and exercise in the 4 weeks prior to the interview. Then they used some prompt cards for sports and exercises that contained a number of groupings. And this included cycling for any purpose, swimming, aerobics for fitness, running and jogging, football and rugby, badminton and tennis, and squash. Okay, and for each positive response, participants were asked to specify frequency. And they were asked questions like, can you tell me on how many separate days you did this activity for at least 15 minutes a time? Duration, how much time did you usually spend doing it? And then their perceived relative intensity. Was the effort usually enough to make you out of breath or sweaty? So interesting insight into what some of these questionnaires would look at. So they're saying, what did you do? How frequently did you do it? How long did you do it when you did it? And tell us how hard you worked when you did. And what did this one find? Participation in racket sports, including badminton, tennis, and squash, showed significant risk reduction of 47% in all-cause mortality and 59% reduction in cardiovascular disease mortality. Back to the racket sports. And for this one, they threw in squash. And back to that client that I start the micro workout plan discussing. He plays squash in the winter and tennis in the summer. Doesn't play badminton. Definitely not his personality to play badminton. But loves his racket sports. And at 60, in his 60s, he's early 60s, crushing it. Okay. One other result, though, that I pulled from this study read directly again, we found robust associations between participation in certain types of sport and exercise and mortality, including substantial reductions in all-cause and cardiovascular disease mortality for swimming, racket sports, and aerobics, and in all-cause mortality for cycling. So now we see connections, right? The other study talked about, yes, swimming, racket sports, aerobics, and cycling. Before I get to the third and final study, what are we seeing here? It's not about the gym necessarily. Again, I go. You should go if you like to. It's a great part of a healthy overall plan if you want to. But I have yet to read you a study or discuss research into the gym and longevity. Because it's about movement and activity and strength training and cardio and balancing the five components of fitness and the whole mental side, which we are seeing more and more with exactly what I'm discussing today, the social connections. I'm going to talk more about the mental side. Systems theory. There is a lot going on when it comes to living your best life, and it's taking the component parts and putting them all together, but not reducing it to a ridiculous explanation that most often is the bias of the person who just wants to say, yeah, I like lifting heavy, so I'm going to find that research that supports what I want to do. No, I just said that, like, I like to run alone. I know that social connections, let me throw this right out there. I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast. I like being alone. I like people, but I'm doing a podcast for a reason. But I like my alone time a lot. I know that I need more social connections. I know that. I'm being honest. I'm always honest. I turn that mirror around all the time because I want to live my best life. I know where my gaps are, sleeping. Social connections. I need more of both. Okay? But there's a lot going on here. And now we're seeing the mental side. Now we're seeing all the different component parts that are coming together. Final break. And then really interesting final study from Japan. Okay? That's going to get into that mental side. And then I'm going to discuss the other reasons, I believe, that racket sports in general and recreational sports in particular will help you live your best life. We'll be right back. And we are back. All right, third study. Really interesting. Japan. They took it a step further. Okay, here is the title, Exercise or Sports in Midlife and Healthy Life Expectancy, an ecological study in all prefectures in Japan, BMC Public Health, September 2019. So what was the study doing? The background is simple. The present study intends to clarify the relationship between engagement in exercise or sports among middle-aged persons and healthy life expectancy through an ecological study in all prefectures in Japan. Okay? So the methods, big study. 2,515 districts were randomly selected from the complete set of 5,280 districts surveyed in the 2004 study. Secondly, 40,877 residents from each selected district were randomly chosen from the pool of individuals between 50 and 59 years of age in proportion to the district's total population. Okay, in 2005, the first year the survey was conducted, questionnaires were dropped off in the respondents' homes, who returned several days later to collect the self-reported surveys. From the second year onward, the questionnaire delivery method changed from drop-off to email, with respondents returning the questionnaire also by email. Okay, so now again, you're seeing how these studies are done. Data from the first through the sixth survey
so that's 2005 through 2010, were used in the study. Respondents included middle-aged individuals, 50 to 59 years old, and 55 to 64 years old. The surveys included a total of, I'm going to give you the exact, 34,000, 32,000, 30,000, 29,000, 28, 26, a lot. And the response rate, this is pretty incredible. I think Japanese, probably over Americans, are going to be a higher response rate, just especially by email, right? The response rate, incredibly, 83% to 97%. Okay, what was the conclusion? Prefectures with a higher ratio of middle-aged individuals engaging in exercise or sports, especially done with families or friends, have longer health life expectancies. Okay. So sports are good. Raising your heart rate is good. But when you do it with other people, it's better. It's better. And again, this is coming from a runner who loves to go out and run for hours or bike for hours by myself. So I try to mix it up too, by the way. And I've started playing tennis again with my kids and my wife for this very reason, amongst others. Okay. And by the way, didn't talk about, let me backtrack here, the funding, okay, for these studies. It wasn't from the Tennis Association. Let's put it that way. Okay. The funding for this study, Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare. Okay. So yes, you got to look at that as well. You know, is there some conflict of interest in the research itself, which for food so often is. So really interesting. Three studies, racket sports first. And then that third study from Japan gets into the discussion, the reasons why. So social interaction. Here are the reasons I have. I've got 1, 2, 3, 6 reasons. Okay. First one, social interactions, connections. And that goes to number 2, just jump right to it. It's fun. It's fun in and of itself, these racket sports, squash, tennis, badminton. And one of the reasons it's fun is because of the social interactions. Doubles tennis. Doubles is hugely popular because you're playing with friends. Some people like singles. Many people like doubles for that very reason. You're talking, you're connecting, and then you're getting the serotonin hit of the exercise itself. So number one, social interactions for me. Number two, the fun. And those two are inherently connected. Number three, this is a great anaerobic and aerobic workout. So in other words, you play for an hour. That's the aerobic part, the sustainability, the stamina to play for that full length of time. And for those of you who are doing like cardio tennis, I love that term, by the way, as opposed to the non-cardio tennis. But, you know, you may be playing games, matches. You may be taking a clinic. Some clinics are longer than an hour. So that's your endurance. That's the aerobic. And then the anaerobic is the sudden starts and stops. Difficult to say. Sudden starts and stops. So it's a great mix of two types of cardio. How many times have I talked about low intensity, steady state, and then high intensity, right? So you're getting both in the perfect balance, I would argue, because those sudden starts and stops, the interval training is really short duration, couple seconds, and then you recover for a couple seconds. So perfect built in. You don't have to think. And number four is there's a lot of lateral movements. So if you get on a treadmill, you get on an elliptical, you get on a bike, it's front to back. And that's good. But when we're talking about real world application, you want to throw that term functional out. All strength is functional, in my opinion. But you're moving in three planes, front to back, side to side, you're going up and down, you're going everywhere. And when you go to the gym, when you get on a piece of exercise equipment, generally speaking, I mean, there is something called the lateral piece of exercise equipment that does go side to side as well, but you know what I'm saying here. So that is a really good thing. the lateral movement is something we need to do so much more of, especially as we get older. This isn't tied into the research, by the way. I'm telling you this is why, on top of the research, I think it's so good. And then number five, two left, you can play it for a really, really long time. There's nothing better than seeing, you know, 80, 90-year-old doubles matches. And that's not out of the ordinary. So it's one of those sports you can play for a really long time. And you keep those social interactions. And you keep having fun. And you keep moving in three planes. And you keep doing aerobic and anaerobic exercise. And here's the final one. It is really good for your mind. Strategic thinking is involved in tennis and squash. So a discussion, bigger discussion for another podcast, but that is a huge part of its value, in my opinion. Strategic thinking. Listen, again, when I go out for a run, I'm turning off that brain in a certain way. I'm still thinking and creativity, and there's brain activity going on, but it's different. It's not this quick reaction. It's different. And we could talk about puzzles and, you know, how the value of that to preventing cognitive decline over the years and things like that. But I would argue this is the perfect combination. You've got serotonin, you've got movement, you've got aerobic, you've got natural exercise built in, and then you're engaging your brain at the same time. Strategically, you're asking your body and your mind to coordinate, and that is a good thing. That is a really good thing. So there you go. Six reasons, starting with the social interaction. So for those of you who are like me, who like to go out solitary workouts, there's benefit to that, but you and I need to probably go run together occasionally, not all the time. I don't want to run with you all the time. But this is the way of looking at the research. And this is the discussion that is not had. Because people just want to confirm their bias. And so you need to look at what you're doing as well. Take all of the information from these podcasts and go, okay, where am I going to pick and choose? Now, you can pick the people and you can pick the sport. That's the difference. You don't have to play tennis. That's why people like going to the gym and taking an aerobics class or doing a class, you know, indoor cycling. So mix it up. Do some at home, do some by yourself, and do some with other people. Keep it fun. All right. What a just interesting topic. Racket sports, really good. And let me leave you with this, just kind of an aside, but connected and everything we talk about, kids and sports and everything. I didn't play tennis, haven't played for decades, because when I was really young, one of my first experiences, if not my first experience with tennis, was being put in a competitive match. And I got my butt handed to me at a really young age, and it was a horrible experience. And I walked off that court and I was like, I hate that sport. That was not fun at all. And so I bring that up just to throw out there for those of us, myself included, who have kids and children. We know it's like that gym teacher who turned you off to doing push-ups or climbing the rope if you're my age, whatever it is. And I feel sad that I didn't get to enjoy it and play it much more over the years. Back into it now, perfectly fine. And it's a phenomenal way for me to do so many things, including spend quality time with my family. But just topic and aside for another day. Be very careful with your introduction to sports and kids and keep it fun. Just keep it fun. That's the point I'm trying to make. All right? Racket sports. Get out there and play your badminton. All right. Thank you for listening. Again, if you want to reach out, questions, comments, Tom H. Fit is Instagram and Twitter, Tom H. Fit. Micro Workout Plan is the newest book. Website, fitnessdisrupted.com. New online gym where I'm putting all my content from decades. Soft launch just started, and just literally videos and articles and training plans and everything. So when people say to me, okay, you talked about this, how do I do it? What do I follow? That is TomHollandFitness.com. All right. Love what I do. It's such a perfect topic for this show because it involves everything we talk about here. Studies, common sense, looking at who lives the longest and why, and then taking all of those things and saying, okay, how do I make that work for me? You don't have to play tennis, but you need to do more stuff with other people. You got to find something, some things that you like when it comes to cardio, and you have to find the foods that you like when it comes to healthy eating. And so I give you the science, we look at it, and you figure out what works for you. Because we all control three things: how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. That is awesome. I am Tom Holland, exercise physiologist, certified sports nutritionist, and lover of what I do for a living. Thank you for listening, and believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.